Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
From high atop the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Firefighters lift a truck off of a man who's pinned underneath. Japan finds radiation in their rice. And Saudi Arabian women are going to be allowed to vote.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Monday, September 26, 2011. Four Portland firefighters worked together to lift a pickup truck off of a man who was pinned underneath in a crash early Sunday morning. Crews responded to the report of a crash in the 13200 block of North Lombard Street just before 2 a.m. Firefighters found that three people had been ejected from the pickup truck in the crash. Two of them were located in a nearby field, and a third was pinned under the truck.
Did they use it? Do it using the hidden superpower that all humans have?
I think that was it. They were just, the sheer adrenaline rush caused them to be all Superman-y.
Okay. Hulky.
Yes.
Is what they would have been there.
Hulky.
I was doing a little bit of the opening narration.
Not Aquaman-y.
Incredible Hulk.
No. Battalion Chief Terry Monroe said, "I was impressed to watch our firefighters collectively circle the overturned truck and lift it off the man pinned underneath. Strength turned out to be the quickest and most efficient way to rescue him." Medical response.
What were the other methods you were going to try? Like bumblebees?
Singing
a song?
Yeah. Using the power of their mind?
Yeah, no.
Maybe.
That power of your mind is pointless. It never does anything.
Light as a feather.
No.
Jonathan Air, whatever that thing is that they used to do at slumber parties. Medical responders stabilized the patients at the scene. All three were taken to Legacy Emanuel Hospital. The man who had been pinned under the truck did suffer life-threatening injuries. The two people found in the field were hospitalized for minor injuries.
Light as a feather, stiff as a dead guy we tried to rescue with the power of positive thought.
Yes, exactly. I don't remember it going quite that way, but then I was usually looking for my bra, which was in the freezer. Workers at a popular Christmas store in Sherwood are counting their blessings, their Christmas blessings, after a car smashed through the wall and into the store. It happened at Sleigh Bells in Sherwood on Sunday. The owner of the store says an SUV crashed through the front wall of the store and into the main counter. He said the crash sent ornaments and decorations flying, but no one was seriously hurt. Rob Vassine said, "As it turned out, we had three employees working in the area. Two of them ducked behind the fudge counter, and the other one just ran out of the way screaming."
I try never to duck behind the fudge counter unless I'm really, really desperate. That's a last resort for me, really. It's
you know, in an earthquake, the safest place for you is behind the fudge counter.
Well,
I saw that on Nightline.
Okay. Yeah. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us on this Monday. It is Monday, September 26th, 2011, the 10th year of the new millennium. Thank you for joining us. It is, about 4 minutes after noon, which means that is Pacific time here in Portland, Oregon, which means you are about 25 minutes away from Science on the March. Later on this hour, you also get your entertainment news. That's coming up at 12:45. And next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at Rick Emerson Show. .com. That is next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Today we'll be joined by Mr. Aaron Duran with The Weekend Geek. Also, music editor from The Oregonian, Ryan White, will be here for a reflection and ponderings on today's music scene. We'll also recap last night's episode of Breaking Bad. That'd be episode 11, season 4, and I don't know. Everybody else will talk about Boardwalk Empire, and I'll say that I forgot to watch it.
I haven't actually watched it yet. I figured we'd talk about it tomorrow.
Okay, fantastic.
I
it's the new True Blood.
Yes, it's the new, only better, right. Only good.
Excellent.
Europe's debt crisis has the potential to bring down the entire global economy. European Commission President José Manuel Barroso says European unity is key to averting a global disaster.
Did he say it while twirling his mustache?
Yes.
Did he say, we have the power? It must
and
feel really good.
Fondling his monocle.
Like, I couldn't bring down... I mean, I couldn't bring down one of those houses made out of pretzel sticks they have at Hickory Farms. I mean, but the ability to bring down the entire world economy, I mean, that's, you know, that's got to fill you with an intoxicating sense of possibility.
Yeah.
Like, you could just sort of like tying the entire world to a railroad track.
And this time it's Europe's fault. It's not our fault.
Everything is always Europe's fault.
No, usually it's the United States' fault, really. Let's be honest about that.
Holocaust.
Okay, there was that. All right. Said usually, not always.
The Holocaust is the exception that proves the rule.
Right, okay. Exactly.
What is this, Europe 1?
Yes.
Europe is stronger today than it was 5 years or 10 years ago as a bloc. So Europe, 5, 10 years from now, will be stronger because already now, globalization is, I believe, the most powerful driver for integration.
All right, I'm telling you, I'm like the weakest man alive. I could take that guy in a bar fight. I'm telling you right now.
He doesn't sound tough.
No.
Barroso says that Europeans must work together.
They understand that if they want to count in the world, if they want to discuss quality conversation with our American friends or with Russia or with China or with other, we count much more if we act together.
Is this guy doing a parody of a French person? He doesn't sound really French. He sounds like Disney Main Street.
I don't think he is French because his name is José Manuel Barroso.
He has kind of a French sort of a thing going on there.
I'll bet he knows a lot of great pickup lines.
Does it say where he's from?
No.
Does it just say Europe?
Just Europe. He's like your international news anchor. He's just...
He's from everywhere.
Just any European accent will do.
He's a pastiche.
Yes.
He's from... Where was my international news anchor? San Lorenzo. Which doesn't exist.
No.
At all. It's a totally... I think it was supposed to be...
Well, you're reporting on San Lorenzo. You yourself were not necessarily from San Lorenzo. Unless that was your backstory for your Leverage character.
That's true. I hadn't really thought about that. I hadn't really given it much thought. I just assumed this is how deeply I look
at
the
script.
No,
you were out on the CNN international desk. You could be from anywhere.
I could have been from anywhere. I could have been from Pittsburgh.
You could have been from Monaco.
See, I think San Lorenzo was supposed to be Monaco, is the thing. Yeah. I don't think they could say Monaco for some reason, but I think San Lorenzo was supposed to be Monaco.
You could have been from South Africa, which is an accent that is no one understands. No, that's Africa. South Africa
Sorry.
Is where Charlize Theron is from.
Oh, I see. That's the white person's Africa.
That's the white person's Africa.
Okay, well, I can totally be from
Although
there.
Although the black people don't appreciate that very much.
I can totally be from someplace white. All right. Hey. This is, by the way, the difference between me and, like, let's say, you know, like everybody else. Like, what's his name? Like, John Rogers, the guy who, like, he had this whole backstory for San Lorenzo, the country. And, like, how it had been colonized and then, you know, the derivation of its various languages. And I'm just, like, doing a bad Ricardo Montalban the whole time. I'm just, you know, the brand new Chrysler has a dashboard made entirely of eagle beak, you know. And
I just read, Craig Ferguson's book about his addictions and his alcoholism and his getting into show business. And he ended up... on The Drew Carey Show because he actually auditioned for the part that Nestor Carbonell played on Suddenly Susan. And it was written in the script as someone who is Latino. And
Ferguson went, that's me.
Right. And so he could not do a Latino accent to save his life. So he said that finally, at some point, everyone in the casting session, he said he realized later, he understood that, yes, casting directors will often send people who are completely wrong for a part because it makes their actual choices look better.
Yeah.
To the people who are doing the casting.
I am that guy.
So then at some point they were all just sort of looking really uncomfortable. So he started doing this really bad over the top kind of Speedy Gonzalez accent because that was all he could do. And so some of them laughed. So it was fine. But then he was laughing. So then he left and the casting director came over and said, hey, I work here at Disney and we're casting this other show. Do you think you could do an English accent? And he said, I just was. Couldn't you tell?
That's awesome.
So, yeah. That's how he ended up on The Drew Carey Show, was because he could not do a Latino accent.
Page two.
There you go. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney won the straw poll at Michigan's Republican conference this weekend. Of the 681 votes cast, Romney captured 51%. Texas Governor Rick Perry won 16%. In the Florida straw poll yesterday, Herman Cain was the big winner, collecting 37% of the votes. Political blogger Danielle Belton says the Florida results are really all about the national front runner.
As exciting as this probably is for Herman Cain and people who support him,
it means nothing.
This is a poll that people, you know, pay to vote in. So you got the most motivated insiders and activists who basically wanted to send a message to Governor Rick Perry about his poor performance in the most recent debate and about some of their other concerns they've had about him.
So it's like getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Feels nice, means nothing.
Right. Belton says Rick Perry came in a distant second.
He didn't really campaign as vigorously as Cain did in Florida. Cain did a lot more talking to the folks, people who were going to be participating in this straw poll. As I feel like the poll really reflects that. It really reflects how insiders feel about the current race, not so much how they feel about Herman.
I wish that the winner of the straw poll had been Cain from House of Mystery. Or not. All right,
or Bane from the Batman comic books.
Or Michael Caine.
Michael Caine, that would be good. Or Caine Hodder.
Or
Chelsea Caine.
No, now you're just trying to run up the scoreboard. Candy Caine. There's a porn star named Candy Caine.
I
feel that should count.
That counts.
Okay.
We'll go with that. Well, you get a point for that.
Caine Mutiny.
Yeah, that's a movie can't run for political office. It's
all
not
right.
A person.
Sorry, fine.
All right.
What was she saying? Ba-da-da-ba-ba-ba. Well, there's only like 500 people who vote in the real national election anyway. So, I mean, you know, who knows?
I think I've got a short in my headphones.
Oh, God. Didn't you just buy those?
Or I have what you had, and now just one of my ears isn't working.
It's probably catching, you know.
Yeah. All right. A 35-year-old man who sexually assaulted a 16-year-old girl while wearing a Winnie the Pooh costume got 90 days in jail on Thursday. Ryan Short pleaded guilty in Ontario court.
Not the kind of honeypot we're talking about.
Of justice at an earlier date to 2 counts of sexual assault. Short made aggressive advances on the teenage employee of a local store on 2 occasions, December 9th and October 31st. On the later occasion, while wearing the Winnie the Pooh costume, Short entered the store intoxicated, fondled the girl, and made her touch his crotch. Mr. Justice Reeves Morgan...
Is it because he couldn't be bothered to do it himself?
Oh, Pooh.
I don't really care about Winnie the Pooh one way or the other, so that's the sort of joke I can make without feeling like I'm hurting my childhood.
No.
I don't really care. Winnie the Pooh was... I never really grew up with that. So.
I love Winnie the Pooh, but I don't consider it, you know, sacrosanct.
Yeah.
We can mock Pooh. He's going to be allowed to serve his sentence on weekends. I guess because he has important Winnie the Pooh business to
Won't
do
that take
Monday
forever?
Through Friday. What do they...
I mean, won't that just take years if he's having to serve his sentence on the week? It's like paying off.
No,
it's like rent to own furniture.
No, they only gave him 90 days.
Well, still.
So that'll be 45 months.
Jesus, that's a long. I mean, I think really I would just go in and just get it done. Just get it. Really, that is
just
one of those things where it's, you know, $7 a week. How can I lose? And then it's like, you know, you're just paying on that until you're, you know, an octogenarian.
Mm.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
okay. All right. Next time with the Rick Emerson radio program and Big Daddy Caine. Good one, sir. He's not a rapist. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Next time with the Rick Emerson radio program. Here is Dawn Taylor at the news desk.
While women are not yet allowed to drive or leave the country without a male chaperone, but Saudi Arabian women will finally get some suffrage after decades of external pressure from rights groups. Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah announced Sunday that women will be given the right to vote and run in municipal elections. The country, which enforces strict conservative Islamic law, has long prevented female citizens from many rights enjoyed by men. Abdullah said, according to the BBC anyway, because we refuse to marginalize women in society in all roles that comply with Sharia, we have decided, after deliberation with our senior clerics and others, to involve women in the Shura Council as members starting next term. Women will be able to run as candidates in the municipal election and will even have the right to vote.
Congratulations on stepping into the very, very early 20th century.
Yes.
Jesus, such a jackasses.
As Saudi authorities have watched conservative and oppressive regimes fall or be challenged by uprisings around the Middle East this year, pressure from outside rights groups has been accompanied by building pressure from within the country.
No, Don. It's their culture, and we have to respect it.
According to the BBC, King Abdullah has very carefully pushed for reform in the country, a difficult task in a place where the rules are defined by conservative clerics and members of the royal family who are resistant to change.
Also where you can beat chicks in public, apparently, for looking
yes.
at the wrong guy.
Yeah.
You know. Our partners in peace, Saudi Arabia.
And, of course, they still can't drive.
No.
But, you know, they'll...
No, and they can't... Here's the thing about Saudi Arabia. Not only can they still not drive in Saudi Arabia, not only can they still not travel abroad, not only can they still not go out without a male escort who is also a member of their family... They also They're making it sound like they're going to. Here's the little fun fact about this. Here's how you can tell that the religious right, which is to say the government, which is to say almost everyone in the country. Here's how they're getting in a final little dig. I can tell you they're just being dragged kicking and screaming out of like the Mesozoic era. I mean, they're only now entering the Planet of the Apes era in that place. So they're just really, I can tell you, it's nothing that just a good first strike wouldn't solve, like quickly and succinctly. I'm telling you right now. And everybody there would be better off if they just hit the hard reset. You know, like when the guy at tech support goes, look, have you taken out the battery? Okay. Have you unplugged it? All right. Have you obliterated it from orbit? Okay, that's the next step. You can tell that they're just trying to get one final dig in at women because God apparently hates them. That they're making it sound like they're running this week. There is an election this week. They don't actually get to vote or run in that one. They have to wait 4 years now. Now that it's law, they have to still wait another 4 years, even though there's an election this week. There you go. Once again, partners in peace, Saudi Arabia.
A fight between two men over a woman has ended with authorities saying one bashed the other over the head with a guitar in the Florida Keys. Monroe County Sheriff's officials said Saturday that 42-year-old Eric Tappert was still carrying the damaged guitar when he was arrested for aggravated battery. Authorities said Tappert admitted hitting 23-year-old Michael Gray over the head with it. The two were fighting over Tappert's girlfriend. Gray said Tappert attacked him from behind with the guitar. Tappert was treated for a head laceration. So he and the 23-year-old guy were fighting over the 42-year-old guy's girlfriend, which, like, all I can say is good for you, ma'am.
Who's the good? But whose guitar was it?
I'm really not sure whose guitar it was. The fellow Tappert, the 42-year-old fellow Tappert, smashed the other guy over the head with the guitar. But I don't know who the guitar actually belonged to.
Why would you pick a fight with a guy who's basically holding a huge wooden axe?
Well, it may have just been nearby. They may have been fighting, like, arguing in the vicinity of a guitar, like it was someone else's guitar.
And he just reached for it like a...
And then he said, screw you, buddy. I like your girlfriend. And the 42-year-old guy said, day. And the 23-year-old guy turned around, and he said, guitar! And he picked it up, went, kablang! And then...
It's like some sort of live-action version of Dead Rising, which, what can I grab?
Or it was like El Kabong from the Hanna-Barbera cartoon. Never mind.
I have no idea.
No, all right.
Okay.
And it's the guitar. I'm just making notes here for myself. So.
Okay.
President Obama rallied supporters in Seattle Sunday.
Who?
President Barack Obama. The president of the United States, Mr. Obama.
Red hair?
No, not currently. Although I think he went through a wacky phase in college.
No. Yeah. Maybe if I saw a picture.
No, President Barack Obama.
Okay. Well,
he rallied supporters in Seattle on Sunday, telling them there's still work to do, and he needs their help to win a second term.
We are tougher than the times that we live in. We are bigger than the small politics that we've been witnessing. We are a people who write our own destiny, and it is fully within our power to write it once more.
That's really a B-grade speech.
Mm-hmm. Well, he also told his supporters to remain optimistic.
We are going to build an America that we believe in. A place where everybody has a fair shot, everybody does their fair share, a generous, big, tolerant America, an optimistic America.
Makes it sound like it's a huge salad bar.
or just a big, warm teddy bear that's going to just give everybody a big hug.
Well, you can have generous portions and unlimited refills, not just on Tuesday, but every day.
Would you play that again? I loved that. That actually made me feel...
We are going to build an America that we believe in. A place where everybody has a fair shot. Everybody does their fair share.
Oh, well, that's not going to happen.
A generous, big, tolerant America. An optimistic America.
With comfortable sleeves and a lot of give.
It makes me feel like America is like John Goodman, and he's just going to wrap me up in a big hug.
Seriously. Like, I mean, I it's going to be one of those, you know, like it's America's, like, as snuggy.
I just feel all warm all over now. Okay. A California man is facing charges after police say he used an inhaler to steal beer from two men before using his head to break the windshield of a police cruiser. According to the police report, officers were called to Kangaroo Express in Clover, South Carolina, early Tuesday morning to the report of an armed robbery. Officers spoke to two men who said they were walking along the sidewalk after buying beer and were approached by a man who pointed what appeared to be a silver pistol at them and demanded their beer. The report indicates the armed man threatened to kill them if he didn't hand over the alcohol. The man, who was later identified as 23-year-old Ashton Graham of California, then ran away from the scene with a case of Keystone Ice and a case of Budweiser. Officers called the York County Sheriff's Office to ask for assistance from the department's canine unit to track Graham. They followed a trail of beer cans and empty cartons as the canine unit tracked Graham. 911 dispatchers notified officers that employees from a nearby business had called and said that a male covered in blood